Jesus, Jesus, you are the answer. You are the answer to every problem, every situation, every life. You are our life and light, Lord. We love you and we praise you and we give you all the glory today. We thank you, Lord. We thank you, Jesus, for your grace, for your redemption, for your salvation, for your healing. We thank you, Lord, for your correction and your direction. We thank you for it, Lord. We bless your holy name today, Lord. We thank you, Jesus. We praise you. We praise you. Father, we thank you for doing everything you want to do here today. If you're here today and you need prayer for your body, if you'll come down here right now, we're going to pray and you're going to receive your healing today. In Jesus' name, thank you for it, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Praise God. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Come on down right now. Thank you, Lord. Anyone else? Thank you, Jesus. Praise God. Praise God. Praise God. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. The Bible says that Jesus went about doing good, healing all who were oppressed of the devil.
Yeah.
God's not doing it. It's the enemy. And Jesus stops it. Jesus fixes it. So in the name of Jesus right now, by the authority he's given us, in the name of Jesus, receive your healing. In the name of Jesus, receive your healing. In the name of Jesus, receive your healing. In the name of Jesus.
Thank you for the anointing.
Thank you for healing. In the name of Jesus. Jesus' name. Thank you for healing. Glory to God. Thank you, Lord. He is the healer. Amen. Thank you, Lord. You may be seated in the presence of the Lord. Thank you, Jesus. God is good. We are blessed. That was good, guys. Thank you. I kind of noticed you kind of picked some of my favorite songs. Happy anniversary, Victor Church. Praise the Lord. Where's Bill? All right, there's Bill. Me and Deb and Bill, I think, are the only charter members left. Well, all three of us were in the first year. Gay went to heaven. Other people moved out of town, things like that. But the three of us are still here. Glory to God. Gladys and Eldred came right after that. And they're sitting right here. They're very young. They're in their 90s. So we're grateful. And then Ron and Pauline came in. They've been here for 20 years. Wave, y'all. Wave, Ron and Pauline. Praise the Lord. And the rest of y'all got here late. Praise God. Thank you, Jesus. So just a little background for the newbies. Pastor Brandon was actually our pastor when we moved up here. And so his dad, of course, is our apostle. And he moved to heaven. But we forgive him. But his lovely wife is here, and Miss Ann. So we have two hollers in the house, not counting me and Deb. But we're so blessed that you guys are here. You're treasures to us, and I'll talk more about that in a minute. But we're grateful for everybody here. Glad you came today. It's raining in Marble Falls. Put your faith out there. Just want to tell you that the PKs are over here. And thank you, Toby, for coming and playing the bass. We've been short on a bass player, and he showed up, and we thank y'all for coming. Carter is officially taller than me now. Someone said this morning, "Where's your little grandson?" I'm like, "Not anymore. He's already 5'8" or 5'9". He's big. Praise the Lord. Glory to God. Well, it's going to be a great day. I'm excited for Pastor Brandon to come bring us the word. Just before he does, I'm going to receive the offering this morning. So if you would go to Deuteronomy 8:18. Praise the Lord. God is good. A lot of good things happening in the earth. I believe we're starting a new cycle, new spiritual cycle. I believe that things are changing in the earth right now. I believe the great reset is here. I believe more people are going to come to Jesus in the next few years than ever before. I believe we're going to grow up more than we ever have before. I believe that good things are on their way. Amen. Praise the Lord. Just before I do that, There's one more person here that's very important to this church plant. Linda Uresti is here. And so, wave, Miss Uresti. So Linda and Mary's here, good friend of ours. They belong to Pastor Brandon. They go to his church. And they've come as guests today because Linda is the reason we're here. So we were all at Pastor Brandon's church and she invited us to, what was that thing called we did? Home what? Home interiors. Okay. So she did home interiors. She asked me and Deb to come pray at the meeting. So we went to pray for her at the meeting and there was a lady there named Elaine Brown who was a member here for a long time. And, so Elaine, picked us up right away and invited us to her home. And we went to her home and, I ministered there and then they invited us back and then Gladys and Eldred invited us to their house and we preached and then the church up here invited us. We did a ladies meeting, but, so we just kind of caught on. And so, we went and talked to Pastor Brandon and Pastor Holler, Pastor John Holler, about planting a church here. They said, yeah. And Brandon said, if you don't, I will. I remember those words. And so, we were like, okay, we're going to go. And so we've been blessed to minister to so many people. And so it's been a blessing. But Linda, thank you for that day. And thank y'all for coming today. I said, thank y'all for coming to see us today. You're going to get to hear your own pastor today. They probably figured that out. Amen. That's awesome. All right, Deuteronomy 8:18. But thou shalt remember the Lord thy God, for it is he that giveth thee power to get wealth, that he may establish his covenant which he sware unto thy fathers as it is this day. Three reasons to prosper. Number one, it destroys the works of darkness. Amen. Amen. Yeah. Number two, expands the kingdom of God. Number three, keep covenant. Yeah. So prosperity is the ability to use God's ability to bless mankind. So it's not just finances. It is finances, but it's more than that. Amen. It's God's ability. And we use it. So we need to be prosperous. And it shouldn't be a hard thing. Prosperity comes from the Lord. The word says that the blessing of the Lord makes one rich and he adds no sorrow with it or no toil with it. Meaning that you're not supposed to have to work and work and work real hard and you're worrying and you're thinking and you're crunching numbers. You should just trust God and believe God, tithe and give and your finances should come in. That's the way it should work. The blessing is an anointing on your life to prosper. And so prosperity has a purpose. Our motivation for accumulation is distribution. We want the kingdom of God to go forward. So, you know, if you have some money, if you have some assets, you can help somebody. Amen. You can help ministries. You can help people. And so that's what would be destroying the works of the devil. If you help somebody get out of trouble or you are able to help a ministry move forward, then we're moving, darkness out. Amen. And so that's a good thing. If you have some prosperity, you can give to good works like this one and like the ones you give to. Many of you are partners with KCM, other ministries, and it expands the kingdom. And church, I know you get this. I know you understand everything I'm saying. The other reason is covenant. God made a covenant with you. He made a covenant with Abraham. We are Abraham's children, according to Galatians 3:13-14. He keeps his covenant with us. We are blessed. We're wearing this blessing. He will not change his mind. And so he made promises that he will keep. Amen. So we're going to prosper. And, you know, we prophesied that there would be a summer of surprises, and boy, have we gotten them. So many people have been blessed, have just all kinds of things happened from an itty-bitty Bobby to now we have to call her itty-bitty Bobby Lynn. All the way through, some of you have gotten huge jobs and clients and lands that you were waiting for. I mean, God just surprised us all 3 months. We just did good. We went to exciting places this summer and just had a really good time. Did some good ministry. Praise the Lord. But God personally wants to bless your life. And so we connect with the kingdom, and I'm preaching to the choir, by tithing and giving. So now in this meeting today, you probably came with an intention of giving something for the purpose of building the kingdom. And so God will just grab hold of that. You'll be blessed. But listen, you have that good intention, but more is actually done. The whole of the seed, the actual money that will come into the bag today, and Danny will take it and it goes to the bank and does all those things and everything that we will accomplish today. That's the whole of the seed, and it stays in the earth. But the spirit part of the seed, that's why we do offering words. To put word on your giving, to put word on your tithing, to put word into the spirit realm, into your heart, so that the good ground of your heart will have the faith to produce your harvest. That's why we do offering words. Some churches don't. I don't get that, but I think it's important to do that. And so today, as we are giving, I want to just pronounce a blessing over your seed today. So, Father, in the name of Jesus, we just declare that the blessing will bring forth riches to every giver so that we can bless the kingdom of God. We declare a harvest over this church that will be greater and grander than anything that we've experienced thus far. And you've done really good, Lord. So we thank you for that. And Lord, as each of us make the connection today, we will be connected to kingdom riches. We're going to destroy the works of darkness. We're going to expand the kingdom. And we are going to keep covenant by receiving the harvest that you are blessing us with in Jesus' name. Amen. Come on, brothers, and minister to the people. Receive. I would just say to you, if you were here and you're coming to give to only one offering, I'm going to receive an offering for Pastor Brandon after he ministers. So you would want to do that. Now, just before I introduce Pastor, do you have your tickets? Okay. So, this is the anniversary, so we have to give away things. All right, who wants to be Vanna? Come on, Avery. Okay, so Avery got a surprise. Didn't you? Tell it.
I got a car.
It's a good one, isn't it? Mm-hmm. You don't want to talk about it? What kind is it?
What kind is it? It's a Ford Explorer, and it's white, and it's beautiful.
Isn't that awesome? Okay, you hold the bucket. Okay. So, I won't talk about that. Praise the Lord. So I don't want you turning red, so we'll stop right there. Okay, so, y'all ready? Praise the Lord. This is going to be for Chick-fil-A. Ready? Is anyone saying I've already won this? Okay. 8539078. Oh, Linda, you're resty. Awesome. Chick-fil-A. You want to run that back to her? I'll hold that bucket while you go. Okay. Praise the Lord. So we have a Chick-fil-A in this town. I don't know if they have one in Lockhart. Do they? Not yet. Okay, it's not open on Sunday, so you can't go today anyway. Yeah, everybody's like, let's go to Chick-fil-A. The Lord's Chicken closes on Sunday. All right, this is going to be for another Chick-fil-A, 8539095. Oh, come on, girl. Winner, winner, chicken dinner. All right. You smiling? 8539085. Who's that? Miss Ann Holler. Winner, winner, chicken dinner. God, Deb, how many chicken dinners do we have here? A lot. Here they keep coming. Another chicken dinner. Of course, you know, we're Christians. 8539096. Well, oh! That's perfect. Y'all can eat like two meals. They don't have to share the fries, those good fries. Okay. Okay, Starbucks. See, you got them stirred up? Okay. I'm not peeking, but I wouldn't know who it was anyway. All right. 8539057. Looky there. Glad we got a coffee drinker. Yeah, whatever. Okay, now, Lowe's. Oh, Lowe's knows. 8539104. Oh, Rhonda. I'll meet you there so you can pick out my gift Monday morning. No, it's okay. Praise the Lord. All right. Home Depot. Okay, let's take a vote. Lowe's. No, say something out loud. Lowe's. Home Depot. Home Depot. I like it better too. It's just more homey. Hey, do y'all know what you call a ant that goes to war? A vigilante. Okay. 8539102. All right, it's mine. Glory to God. Oh. Come on, Kaya. Praise the Lord. Okay. One more, and this is a Visa card, so you can go anywhere you want to. Okay, let's see. She usually wins when she says that, so let's see if she makes it. 8539092. All right. Thank you, Vanna number two. And that is it. We're done. Praise the Lord. Smoothies, so Pastor Brandon won't have to look at them. Thank you, Jesus. Are we blessed? Yeah. Amen. Well, Miss Ann, thank you for coming. You're a blessing. We've known the Hollers for a long time, almost 30 years. But we have known you, Pastor, for 30 years. I met you when I was 39 years old. And we've had so much fun together. It's been a good life. We are covenant friends and always will be. Pastor Brandon Holler is a preacher. He's a teacher. He's been a professor at Christ for the Nations. He teaches at a Bible college in Florida right now. Doesn't that go other places, though? It's in other states and such. And it's Brazilian Word of Faith churches, right? So he's off on the road all the time doing that. He's traveled the world. He's ministered many places. He has two churches, one in Kyle, Texas, one in Lockhart, Texas. And he is just an awesome minister. I love to always hear him, and I love laughing with him. We have fun together. But I do want to say something about Pastor Brandon. He is my friend. He is my hero. For a lot of reasons. We've been through a lot of things together, walked through a lot of things together. But this is the one thing I know about him that just keeps me in a good place. He makes the word absolute authority. The word of God is the absolute authority. And he doesn't change about the word when it comes to anything that goes on in life. He's solid with it. And he's proved that to me year after year. So please welcome Pastor Brandon Holler.
I love you.
I love you too.
Lord, thank you so much. I'm really, really honored to be here, especially on a day like this, where you're marking such a great moment in the history and life of the church. And Pastor Rox, I'm just honored that you would surrender this to me on a day like this. And I'm grateful for our friendship. I thank God for you all the time. And the Bible says that a A word that comes to your life at the right time is like a tree of life. And I can confidently say, on behalf of me and my wife both, that Pastor Roxanne has been a consistent tree of life to us and been a great blessing. And not only Pastor Rox, but Miss Deb's been my friend for a long time. We were on praise and worship teams together and flying by the seat of our pants and just figuring it out. And but yeah, what a day. What a day. 21 years. I was thinking about 21. You know, and as we grow up in this country, as we grow up, we have certain markers that we meet when we have certain ages. You know, at 16, we can drive, right?
Yeah.
18, we can vote.
Yeah.
And there's one marker that kind of hangs around a little bit longer, and that's 21. I'm not here condoning anything or endorsing anything. I'm just saying 21 is a marker. But what it actually is the marker of is it's the marker where all the limits come off. It's the last one. And I just believe that as you step into this 21st year, that it's going to be the year where the limits are off. And anything that has held you back, it's not going to hold you back anymore. Any words that people have said, well, you can't do that, because you've not been around long enough, you're not experienced. Well, you're 21 now, so you can do whatever you want. Amen. I brought a picture. Do we have that picture? I brought a picture of my family just so you can get an update. That's my family. My son just got married in April. That's him. He's the guy in the middle. That is a guy. That is a guy. And this is our oldest daughter, Morgan, on the right. And then my beautiful wife in the striped dress. And then our son, Coy, he's 24. And this is his beautiful wife, Gianna. Gianna has been a great gift to our life. And then next to her is our daughter, Naomi. She's 21. And then our youngest daughter, Macy, she's 17. And, God has been so very good to us. And I'm just amazed at his goodness. You know what's interesting? Just you go through life and you do things and you don't even realize until sometime later that God has plans.
Yeah.
In our house, in our laundry room, if you walked in our laundry room, on the wall you would see where we have kept track of our kids' height. Mm-hmm. From the time they were little to the time they're grown, we've got markers and it's dated and whose mark that was. And it's filled with all of our kids. Our four children fill that wall. But there is one other person outside of our family that shows up on that wall. Wow. And at the age of 12 years old, there's a mark for a girl named Gianna Malone.
Wow.
That my son married in April. You know, it just feels divine. I walk in there and I just see that, and I'm like, God, you were up to something even then. Yeah. Yeah. And it's like she belonged on our wall from the time she was 12. She was supposed to be in amongst our kids. Yeah, it's amazing. And she's a professional pastry chef.
Come on.
I told Coy, buddy, you better do something, because if you don't marry her, you're leaving the family and she's staying. And he got smart real fast. I bring greetings from my wife. She's always a little disappointed when I get to come to places like this with our friends, and she doesn't get to come. She's at home preaching today. We're launching our small group season, and so it was important for her to be there. I'm honored to have Linda and Miss Mary. Mary, I was just talking about you in church last Sunday. I was just talking about how those lifelong relationships that you know that people are in your life, they're in your life for a long time, and then I show up here and there you are. We can't get rid of each other, Miss Mary. We just can't. I have a simple thought, I think it's a simple thought that I want to share with you today, just as in part to encourage you to keep doing what you're doing, but also as a reminder that you never take for granted what you're doing, and to remind you of the greatness of God's church. And if I were going to title this today, I would just title it, "What's So Great About This House?" So if you would go to 1 Timothy chapter 3, rather. I want to read one verse of scripture to you. I'm going to do my best not to clear my throat the whole time. I don't normally talk this deep. I'm not Barry White. He had such a great voice, though. But I've preached 10 times in the past 5 days, and my throat is angry at me.
Oh.
Mad at me. But
1
Timothy, y'all, this is going to be great. This is going to be great today. 1 Timothy chapter 3. And I want to start in verse 14. I'm going to read 14 and 15. 15 is where I actually want to land. But it says, "These things I write to you, though I hope to come to you shortly." This is the Apostle Paul writing to Timothy. He says, "But if I'm delayed, I write so that you know how you ought to conduct yourself in the house of God." Can I stop there for just a second? I don't know if you know this. I think you know this. You have a good pastor who teaches you the word. But do you know that there's a right way and a wrong way to behave yourself in church?
Amen.
And Paul's saying, "Hey, I'm giving you some instructions so that you know the right way. You know how you're supposed to behave in church." Okay. So I think church is the place that helps us grow in how we behave. And once we grow in this environment, then it outflows out into the world, and we behave better out in the world too. Yep. Okay, so Paul says, "I'm writing so that you know how to conduct yourself in the house of God, which is the church of the living God, the pillar and ground of the truth." Let's pray. Father, we love you. We thank you for this time that we're here together. And we say, as the prophet Samuel said, "Speak, Lord. We're listening." I ask you, Lord, according to Ephesians chapter 1, that you'd grant to us the spirit of wisdom and revelation in the knowledge of you. Lord, we want to know you better today. Reveal yourself to us. Jesus, you are Lord over this time. Holy Spirit, have your way. And lead and guide us to truth. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. All right, all right. Tell your neighbor how pretty they are. Have you told them yet today how pretty they are? Mm-hmm. 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 So what's so great about this house? What's so great about the church? Well, this verse of scripture tells us something really profound. Here's what's really profound. What makes this house great is this is God's house.
Yeah.
The Bible says that when two or three gather, Jesus said, "When you gather in my name, I'm there." This is the place where God's people come together, and it in that moment becomes His house. It's the place where His presence comes. It's the place where He meets with us. It's the place where heaven invades earth. This is His house. And so, while I think that we can, from time to time, just for the because of how religion works, we can get a little bit too rigid and legalistic about that. But at the same time, the pendulum can also swing the other way, where we get a little bit too loose and we forget that this isn't just some ordinary building. These are not just some ordinary people. These are not just some random routines that we put into practice and just show up at church on Sunday because it's what we do and we check the box to do our religious duty. No, we gathered in a place that the Bible says is God's house. This is the place where His presence is.
Yes.
And it ought to be the kind of place where every time we gather, something supernatural happens in our lives. As I said, the Bible, Jesus teaching us, says that when we gather in His name, He's there as well. Well, I'm of the opinion that wherever God is, life has to start getting better right at that place. So my expectation for each of us today, and myself included, is that my life's getting better and your life's getting better right now simply because we are in God's house where His presence is. Now, something important to note, though, that His presence doesn't live here. His presence manifests in a place like this, in a time like this, because His people choose to gather together. Mm-hmm. His presence, no doubt, because you have the Spirit of God on the inside of you, His presence goes with you everywhere that you go. But I think if you've been in church long enough, you would agree with me. His presence does something unusual and beautiful in the context of church that He just doesn't do anywhere else. He just doesn't do it. He does something unique here. And in part, it has to do with the time that we set aside for praise and worship. We set our attention on Him. We put Him first place. We put Jesus at the center, right?
Yep.
And then we submit ourselves to God's Word.
Yeah.
And the teaching of God's Word. And that has profound and supernatural implications to it. And when you submit to the Word, as Pastor Rox was wonderfully describing during offering time, you know, that there's a time where we're sowing into spiritual things and supernatural. This is what the book of Galatians says. In Galatians chapter 6, it's talking about financial giving. It says, don't be deceived. God's not mocked. Whatever a man sows, that he will also reap. And then he's encouraging giving. And he says, even when we sow to the Spirit.
Yeah, come on.
What?
Yeah.
You just went from talking about financial giving at church to sowing to the Spirit. Yeah, it's supernatural. When we participate with the kingdom of God, it is supernatural. And whether you know it or not, right now we're participating with the kingdom of God because church is God's idea.
Yeah. Yeah.
Man did not make this up. Church is God's idea. As a matter of fact, I say it this way, church is God's plan A for reaching the world.
Yeah.
And there's no plan B.
Amen.
This is it.
Yeah.
This is it. This is God's house. And I would say that of all the great things that I've seen happen in my life, the vast majority of them, I can't think of any that didn't, but the vast majority of the great things that happened in my life happened in church.
Yep. Yeah.
Amen. The great people that I've met happened in church.
Yeah.
And the unique thing about church is I don't know how this church works and how your relationships all are, but there's so many people in my church that my path never crosses their path except for at church. So that means that there are people from all walks of life and all different perspectives and cultures and groupings that are just spread out all over, and God reaches into all those unique groups and says, hey, I want you all to come together in all your differences, and let's come together and let's do something beautiful. And we may never cross each other's path any other time, but God has designed for us to cross paths today in this place. He has a plan. This is the kind of place. The Bible tells us, I'll say it this way, the Bible says that the Old Testament is a shadow of things that were coming. So when we look back at the Old Testament, there are things that we see that are shadows, they're symbols of what our New Testament life was going to look like.
Yeah, that's right.
And we find one of these symbolisms in the Old Testament, and that is the symbol of the house of God. Now, in the Old Testament, it was a tabernacle set up. Moses set up a tabernacle, and then David had a tabernacle, and then Solomon reestablished Moses' tabernacle and all of that. So they had this temple and a specific place that they went to. But something interesting is the very first time there's a rule, the collection of rules for Bible study is called hermeneutics. And there's a hermeneutical rule called the law or the rule of first mention.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
It means that the first time that something shows up in the Bible, it's a precedent-setting moment and you need to pay attention.
Right.
Because it's saying more than just the word showing up for the first time. The whole picture is being painted in that one moment. Just like in Genesis chapter 6, the very first time that the word grace shows up is in Genesis chapter 6. And what did it do? Well, it delivered Noah and his whole family from judgment and from God's wrath.
Yeah.
And this is what the New Testament says that grace does for us now. It delivers us from that. To the degree that the Apostle Paul in Acts chapter 16, reaching back to Moses, tells the Philippian jailer, if you'll just believe on the Lord Jesus, you and your whole house will be saved. So he's looking at Noah and he says, see, it happened for Noah when grace showed up. It happened for you when grace shows up. Because it's the precedent moment. Precedent moment is found in Genesis chapter 15. It's the very first place that believe or faith appears in the Bible. And it's Genesis chapter 15, verse 6, and it says, Abraham believed God, and God accounted it to him for righteousness. It's also the first place that righteousness shows up. As a matter of fact, in the first six verses of Genesis chapter 15, there are six first mentions. So this is a huge moment. And the Apostle Paul, when he lands at Romans chapter 4, reaches back to Genesis 15 and builds all of New Testament theology from this verse that I just quoted to you. Abraham believed God and it was accounted to him for righteousness. So first mentions are important in the scriptures. The first time they show up, it's important. In Genesis 28, we have the very first mention of the phrase house of God. It's the first time it shows up in Genesis 28, and it happens in the life of a man named Jacob. Jacob is out running for his life, and he falls asleep. The Bible says he took a rock and laid his head on it. You know you're in a rough spot when the best pillow you can find is a rock. Right? He lays down and he goes to sleep, and he has a dream, and there's a ladder from heaven to earth, and angels ascending and descending, and God speaks to him from above the ladder, declares a blessing over him. And Jacob wakes up and here's what he says. He says, surely God is in this place. And I did not know it. This is none other than the house of God. There it is. There's the first time it's mentioned. It's not a temple. It's not a building. It's the place where God's presence manifested. He said, God is in this place. This has to be the house of God. This is it. This is the house of God, where His presence is. And I just say to you again, when we gather, His presence is here. So every time we're gathering together. And we collectively together are establishing God's house. Jacob also says one other thing about it, the house of God in that moment. He says, this is the gate of heaven. And that's what the church is supposed to be.
Yes.
We just read 1 Timothy chapter 3 that says, I'm telling you how to behave in the house of God, which is the church.
Right.
So when we look back at the Old Testament and we see the house of God, this is a picture of the church.
Yeah.
So when we look at Jacob in this first mention, this is a picture of the church for the first time. There ought to be people who walk in this place that have driven past it multiple times, but one day they decide to walk in and their response and their reaction is, surely God is in this place and I did not know it. I drove past it and was unaware, but look, God is in this place because they have an encounter with the gate of heaven. God's presence invades earth in this place. God said in 1 Kings chapter 9 and verse 3 of His house, He said, there at My house, My eyes are on it and My heart will be in it always. You see, when we gather together, we're gathering at the place where God's eyes are and where His heart is. Amen. As I said, to open this, I just want to remind you of a simple thought in hopes that you don't ever take this for granted. That it doesn't just become mere routine for your life. That you're gathering at the place where God's eyes are and where His heart is. You know, we have moments in our life, and I think we all experience them. They're challenging moments, and we're like Abraham in Genesis 15. You could go back and read these verses. Abraham's in a tough spot. God shows up and says, hey, Abraham, I'm your shield and your exceeding great reward. Man, I'd love for God to just show up and say that to me. I mean, He did say it in His word ultimately, but it, you know, it's in person like that, like His voice is, man, wow, I'm your shield. And I think most people would say, thank you. Abraham didn't say that. Abraham says, oh, really? Well, look at my life. I have no kids. You're my shield. You're my exceeding great reward. You gave me no offspring. Now, I don't know if you talk to God like that, but I don't talk to God like that. And Abraham is saying, look at what's going on. Look what's missing in my life. And God, as if he didn't even hear him, says, Abraham, come out of your tent. And I want you to see something. I want you to look up at the stars. And can you count them? Because that's what your offspring is going to be like. It's going to be like the stars of the sky. And then we have verse 6, and Abraham believed God. And God accounted it to him for righteousness. You see, when we gather in a place like this, sometimes we have these challenging moments and we're like, God, do you see? Do you even see what's happening? But when we gather here, this is the moment where God's saying, come here and look what I see. See, we oftentimes want God to look at what we're seeing, but God is inviting us in this time to look at what he sees and what he sees about your life and what he sees about your future. He has an incredible plan for your life, but I believe you discover it here. In his house. Can I hear a good amen? Amen. And so I would say this. I'm just visiting, so I can say whatever I want because I'm running after this. So I'm out. I'm out. don't just be involved at church. Be committed to church. And there is a difference. I think involvement should just be the byproduct of commitment. But if you're just involved and not committed, then other things can instantly take you away and cause you to miss moments like this. I'll give you a simple explanation that I think you'll remember for the rest of your life of the difference between involvement and commitment. Okay? If you got up this morning and you made breakfast, you made you a couple of eggs and some bacon. And you sat and ate that breakfast and enjoyed that breakfast. And it gave you energy for the day. How many of you know that the chickens were involved in helping you make that breakfast? But the pig was committed. Amen. We got to get committed to God's house and committed to this. It means sometimes it's going to be a little bit uncomfortable and we're going to be a little bit tired and we're going to be busy and we're going to have things going on. No, we're committed to God's house. We're committed. Not because we're trying to earn some credit from God, but simply because we know. If we've ever said, God, look, God, would you just see? You can know that if you'll just get to his house, he sees you because his eyes are here and his heart is here. Amen. Here's the second thing that I think is what makes this house so great. And it's found in this same verse. And this, I don't know that I could say this about every church. I would like to, but I don't go to every church. I go to my church and it's my favorite. Because it's the one I go to. I don't go to everybody else's church. So I don't know. I'm sure they're all great. But I go to mine. But I can confidently say this about this church because I know your pastor. The Apostle Paul says this church is the pillar and the ground of the truth. Not just any truth, but the truth. Which we know is found right here. It's found in this Bible. And it is a truth that has withstood the test of time. It is a truth that has carried generations of people from heaven to earth. It is this truth that has created the greatest miracle ever given to mankind, and that is that they would be lost and give their heart to Jesus and instantly be found. The greatest miracle is they were dead, but now they're alive. The gift of salvation is the greatest miracle, but we only know it to be true because of this word. Because of the things that were written down here. And so we build our life on this because this is what stands the test of time. Jesus clearly explained this to us. He said, if you'll just hear my words and do my words, then your life becomes like a house built on the rock. And even if the storms come, your house is not going to fall. And I am, as I said, I'm confident that your pastor teaches you the word. Yes. And I would say this, the Apostle Paul, I'm going to say this on behalf of your pastor, okay? The Apostle Paul gives us some really great instruction in the book of Philippians. First chapter, he says, don't get tired of my repetition. Because it's for your safety. That means God knows something about all of us, and that is this. We're hard-headed. And it takes hearing it over and over and over and over and over again. Can I just give you a little a Bible study kind of? I'm a nerd when it comes to things in the Bible, and I like finding these little things. But here's a little nerdy thing about the Bible. Okay, I believe the Bible is a balanced book. That everything that's in here is accurately stated, and it is in full complete balance. And it's not my job, and not Pastor Roxanne's job to balance this book. We don't take messages and make sure that they all measure up the same, because the Bible has certain emphasis on certain things, and then it has little emphasis on other things. And all we're here to do is just to tell you what the Bible says. Okay? So if Pastor Rox decided that she was going to preach every verse of Scripture on repentance from the Bible, one Sunday at a time. Okay? There are enough verses in the Bible on the message of repentance that she would preach every Sunday for the next year and 2 months. And she'd never have to change subject. It's about 60 verses. Okay? But if she decided, I'm going to take a verse of Scripture, a single verse of Scripture that talks about faith, and I'm going to preach one at a time each Sunday, she would preach on faith for the next 11 and a half years. There's almost 600 verses that talk about faith. So because of what I know about that and what I know about your pastor is that she's telling you the truth. Because I know she preaches on faith. I know she does. And so, as Paul said to the Philippian church, I'll say to you again, because I believe we need to know this when we go to the Bible, don't get tired of hearing and reading the same thing over and over and over. You need it. It's for your safety. Because there's a voice around us all the time. We're in church, what, once a week? Twice a week? Maybe a little Bible study here, a little prayer group there. You know, we got these little one-offs that we kind of do. But for the most part, the vast majority of our life is lived outside of this context. It's lived out in the world. Well, that world has a voice too. And it's constantly trying to tell you everything contrary to what the Bible says. That's why we need to come to God's house and get connected to the pillar and the foundation of the truth. So that our life goes forward. Yeah? Okay. Everybody okay? Are you still alive? Okay, all right. That's the second thing. And again, I'm leaving, so I'm going to say something strong. I think it's strong. I think it's strong. God has an expectation when you gather together, and you find this in Ephesians chapter 4. God has an expectation that when you gather and you sit under the teaching of God's word by a pastor, or prophet, evangelist, teacher, apostle. He has an expectation. You can read this in Ephesians chapter 4. And you know what it is? It's real simple. Grow up. That's what it says. You get together, God expects you to grow up. We all know those people, right? We know those people. They've been saved for 30, 40 years, and they are the biggest babies. If they're sitting next to you, don't look at them. Just, you know. But you know who I'm talking about. You know who I'm talking about. You know who I'm talking about. We don't even have to call names. We just, you know. God doesn't want that. God wants us to grow up. And there's several reasons why, but here's one I'll point out to you. Romans chapter 8 says all of creation is groaning and waiting for the revealing and the manifestation of the children of God. We've got to grow up. Grow up and start acting like God's kids in the earth. Creation needs us to do this. Amen. Amen. Creation needs it. Your friends need it. Your family needs it. Now, I'm a person that I like to ride roller coasters. They always make me sick, but I still ride them. Okay? I like to ride roller coasters, but I don't like people that are roller coasters. Right? Some part of growing up is that your life stops doing this and you start doing this. And you start being a little more consistent. And then people know exactly what they're going to get when they're with you because you're consistent. Because you've grown up and you've got some things settled in your life. And now you're going forward in your life. And you become a strength and a support to people, right? Y'all know those people. I have people in my life. I'm not even going to say who they are because even though none of them are here. But just in case you cross their path, I don't want you to tell them what I said. So there are those people, you know, they're walking towards you and you're exhausted before they even get to you. You know what I mean? Like it's just there's a certain thing in their personality, you know. You get the phone call and you're like, I ain't got time for that. Right? You know, it's just gonna wear you out. And I'm telling you, I'm preaching to myself more than I'm preaching to anybody in the room because I by nature am what is technically called an introvert. And I like me. I like my time. I like my space. I like just me. Megan, I never lose an argument when I'm by myself. I'm never wrong when I'm by myself. It's so fantastic. And it's not that I don't love people. People just wear me out. And I need to be by myself just to recover from all those people. Right? And so the fact that I'm even doing this today just tells me that God has an amazing sense of humor. Right? I tell people this. I as an introvert, I like my space. And I was standing in line at the store the other day, and this person's standing up on me, and I'm just like, what are you? And they're really not that close, and they're not even paying attention. They're just minding their own business. So I'm just like, because don't come in my space. Don't come in my space. Don't come in my space. Okay? But then I married a Hispanic. And what I found out is they like my space too. They like it a lot. Yeah. So I had to make some adjustments and I had to grow. Yes? We have to grow. We grow up. God brings people into our life to actually help us grow up. And some of those people he brings into our life that can be the most challenging, we find right here in his house. Amen. I'm not saying this is the case here, but Pastor Walt used to always say, hey, wherever there's a light, you're going to draw bugs. You know? Sometimes it happens. You know, sometimes it happens. Me and my wife, we call them church mascots. You know, it's like you have these mascots that show up. It's like, whoo, you're a lot. But but here's the thing that we have to understand that the Bible says about how Jesus thinks about this. Ephesians chapter 5 and verse 25, the Bible says Jesus loves the church. He loves the church. When I was teaching Bible school every week, I did a class, a whole semester class called The Doctrine of the Local Church. And I had a student come up to me one time and he said, you know, I hear you got a lot to say about the church. And I get what you're saying. He said, but I've had all these experiences and you know, he said, I've just been disappointed. I've been hurt. And, you know, there's kind of a popular fad word statement right now. I got church hurt. Got church hurt. I'm like, well, grow up. Or get in line. We've all been there. Get over it. And so this guy says, he's saying this to me. You know, he's telling me this. And he says, now listen, I love Jesus. I love Jesus. I just don't love the church. And I said, okay. I said, okay. I said, I'm not even going to attack you on this, but let me just give you a thought. Because of what Ephesians 5:25 says, here's what you're saying. You're saying, I love the church, but I don't love what Jesus loves. Now, I don't know how your marriages work, those of you that are married in here. But my marriage has worked this way. My wife and I just celebrated 28 years of being married. And I have found that there are things in my life that I value. I might even say that I love it. That I would have never loved or never valued, but it's become valuable to me because it's valuable to my wife. Because she loves it, now I'm paying attention. When we're apart and I'm somewhere and I see something that she loves, well, I want to buy that for her because I know that she loves it. And because she loves it, it holds a place of value for me. And so I want to give it to her. Now, before I met her, I probably would have never even noticed that thing that she loved because I didn't love it and I didn't value it because I'm in relationship with her. Now I know what she loves and what she values. And so what she loves and values has taken a priority in my life. And I'm here to say the church is valued and loved by Jesus Christ. If you cannot love it for the people in the room, can you love it simply because Jesus loves it. Amen. He loves the church. So we love the church. Amen. Amen. Now here's the third thing, and this is not in this verse of scripture, and I actually can't even find a verse to support it, but I can find stories in the Bible that support this. Okay? And this is not going to sound like something that's so great about the church, but if you'll let me explain it, I'll explain to you why it's so great. The third thing that makes this house great is that it's filled with imperfect people. It's filled with people with flaws, misbehaviors, all those kinds of things that people use as excuse to not go to church. But in Matthew chapter 16 and verse 18, Jesus says that he's building the church. And he's not building the walls. He's building the people. And if we were all at a place of perfection, Jesus couldn't do his job. Because we've all already arrived. So the fact that we're even flawed in any way is proof that Jesus is still at work building. And what a privilege to be a part of what Jesus is building. The Bible calls us co-laborers with Christ. That means that God has made a grand invitation and invited us onto the construction site of the church. I said, let's do this together. What a privilege. I know people in church. I've grown up in church. My dad was a pastor. I told my church a few weeks ago, I feel like I was born again before I was born. I've just been in this my whole life. And I've been around difficult people and I've had challenges. But I can honestly tell you, the greatest people I've ever met in my life, I met at church. One of them, two of them are sitting right here. The greatest people I've ever met. The most upstanding and upright and honorable kind of people. The kind of people that you can build your life with. I found them in church. That means that somewhere along the way, they stepped into the church as an imperfect problem. And Jesus built them. And their life changed and got better. And because their life got better, my life got better. You can see this very clearly in the way that Jesus designed his own team of disciples. Right? Aren't you grateful that he picked Peter? Because Peter gives all of us a chance. Right? You look at Peter and it's like, whew, thank you, Lord. Yeah. I mean, just imagine this for a moment. Matthew chapter 17 records that Jesus has gone up to a mountain and he's being transfigured. And on this mountain, Moses shows up and Elijah the prophet shows up. Okay, so get the picture. Yeah. Jesus is there. Moses is there. Elijah's there. Now, I don't know that this would ever happen, but if you ever, let me just give you a piece of advice. If you ever find yourself on top of a mountain, and Jesus is there, Moses is there, and Elijah is there, and we know that Peter was out of line, because God... He helps us. They come. They said, we're here for Jesus. And Jesus says, I'm he. And then they all fell down. Under the just the, I am he. They all fell down. Now, I don't know how you feel about this, but if I were a Roman guard that day, I think I'd get up, dust myself off, and go, you know what, we can do this another time. I mean, it's crazy that these guys kept pushing forward. He just said a word and knocked you on the ground. And then Peter, after seeing that, thought, well, that's not good enough. Here, let me take out my knife. Cut a guy's ear off. Now, this isn't in the scriptures, but just because of the nature of Peter and what I see in the life of Jesus and how he challenged him from time to time, I just wonder if when that ear hit the ground, that Jesus didn't look at Peter and go, What are you doing? Step back, Peter. He goes over and picks the ear up off the ground and sticks it back on the guy's head, you know, and heals him. Now, I'll just say again, if I were the servant and my ear just got lopped off and then Jesus put it back on my head, I think I would at that moment just go, hey, Jesus, you're good. We're good. Never mind. We're just playing. Just playing. We're not here to arrest you. But Peter's just this guy. He's just, he's all over the place. He's a little bit of a roller coaster, right? He's this guy. One minute, you're the Son of God. You know, you're God in the flesh. And Jesus says, wow, Peter, God revealed that to you. Yes, he did. Yes, he did. Yes, he did. And then the next minute, Jesus is saying, Peter, shut up. Get behind me, Satan. You know, it's Peter's a lot. But then Acts chapter 2 happens. And Peter gets baptized in the Holy Spirit. And it's one of the greatest sermons in the Bible. When nobody else knew what to say, Peter knew what to say. Because he was filled with the Spirit of God. Amazing that God can take that kind of life and instantly change it by his power and by his Spirit, isn't it? That's why I say Peter's a hopeful picture for us. So I'm glad Jesus included him, because that means that he would include any of us into his group. Right? Jesus picked a guy named Matthew. Matthew, the tax collector. Now, with the exception of Matthew, the tax collector, every time in the scriptures that a tax collector is mentioned, he's mentioned in the category of sinners. Amen. Because they were considered thieves. And yes, they did steal. We know this from Zacchaeus. He was robbing people. But it was also from this idea that these were Jewish men taking taxes from Jewish men and giving them to a Gentile government. That was considered theft, even if it was the accurate amounts. That was still considered theft to the Jewish people, because it was a Jewish person taking money from another Jewish person and then handing it over to a Gentile godless government. And this is Matthew. Then Jesus says, I'll take you. Then he puts him on a team with a guy named Simon the Zealot. Now, if you don't know anything about the Zealots were a group, they were a militia. They were an army of men who believed that God had called them for such a time as this and that they were going to raise up a full military and overthrow the Roman government and establish God's kingdom, and Messiah was going to appear. So you take a guy like Simon the Zealot, and Jesus says, I'll take you, you who hates everything about Rome, and I'll take you, Matthew, the one who represents everything that is Rome. And he put them on the same team and said, work it out, boys. Figure it out. Jesus didn't pick a group of guys that all agreed. He didn't pick a group of guys that liked each other. If you think church is supposed to be that, you're going to be disappointed. You come into church and all the people that are here, as I said, you would never cross paths with them, and in part because you don't like any of the same things. But yet because of what God does in this place, all of a sudden, those things that are important to us and are valuable to us and are part of our identity and how we're made up, they all fall aside because we gather around one cause and one person. We gather around one message.
Yes, amen.
That God so loved the world. That means He loved me. And we all have this in common. That God, as the old song said, look beyond our faults and saw our needs. We all have this in common, and so we can gather. Even in the midst of our differences, we can gather and go, I don't mean that much. Let's worship Jesus. Right? It doesn't really mean that much. And it's in this place where lives are restored and people are made whole and marriages repaired and healing happens. And as I said, the greatest miracle happens in this environment oftentimes, and that's where the person who doesn't know God has an encounter with Him and surrenders their life to Him in faith, and they're made the righteousness of God.
Yeah.
So this is supernatural. This is supernatural. And so we believe that in this place that anybody, no matter how imperfect, that anybody can walk through those doors and have an encounter with Jesus.
Yeah, that's right.
Our doors are open to all of the broken.
That's right.
Because the broken need Jesus.
Yeah.
Something interesting to me in Luke chapter 4, and I'll start wrapping it up with this. Are we good?
Yeah.
Okay. Luke chapter 4, Jesus steps into the temple and He takes the Bible. They hand Him the book of the Bible, and He finds the book of Isaiah, and He finds the place where it's written. For us, it's chapter 61. And He starts reading it, and He says, the Spirit of the Lord is upon me because He has anointed me to preach the good news to the poor. He's anointed me to proclaim liberty to the captives, recovery of sight to the blind, to set at liberty those who are oppressed, and to proclaim the acceptable year of the Lord. There's only one idea or concept that is repeated. This is verses 18 and verse 19 of Luke chapter 4. There's only one concept that is repeated, and it's that Jesus is here to bring you to liberty. He says He proclaims liberty to the captives, and then He sets at liberty the oppressed. This tells me that He's very intent on getting us free. Right? So much so that He has to say it twice. But I don't believe that Jesus was being redundant. And so I got out my Bible help book and I started looking into Luke chapter 4. And here's what I found. That in these two statements, He's actually saying something different. While the goal is still the same, He's actually approaching it from two different perspectives. The first perspective is simply this. I'm here to proclaim liberty to the captives. That means that there is people that are held bound, but at the mere proclamation that you don't have to be bound anymore, they walk out. That's all it takes. It's just the good news, just the message that says, you're free. All right, praise God, I'm free. And they walk out. But there's another group of people. He says, I'm here to set at liberty those who are oppressed. This word oppressed in the Greek language means to be broken and shattered into pieces. That means that there are some people, maybe this was you, maybe it's someone you know and you need to get them to God's house, but there were some people that were so broken and so shattered and pieces were everywhere that the mere proclamation of freedom was not enough to get them, because there are pieces missing that they don't even know where they are anymore. But what Jesus said is, I can proclaim liberty to those who will just walk out, but to those who are unable to do that, I will step into their life, I will gather up all the pieces, I'll even find the pieces that they don't know exist, and I'll pick them up, and I will carry them to freedom. That means that there's not one person that we would encounter that is too broken to walk through these doors to come in here to find a Jesus that can restore them and heal them. That's the beautiful part. What makes this place great is actually the flawed people in the place. Because it's when we show up, God does what only God can do in the environment of those who have things they're dealing with. It's the place of restoration. It's the house of hope. It's the house that declares all things are possible to him that believes. It's the house that says that Jesus still heals today. It's this house that proclaims a message. It shows up like a light in the midst of darkness. It's this house. And there is a world around us that is doing its very best to quiet this house. Now, I want to say something to you, because I don't want you to misunderstand me. That doesn't make us victims. And we're not whining about it. Because we know that this voice will outlast all the other voices. And we just continue to do what we know to do, and we continue to be who he's created us to be, and we walk in the power and the authority of God's word, and we live it out. The vast majority of your Christian life is simply this: take his word, walk it out. Take his word, walk it out. Take his word, walk it out. That's the vast majority of it. Amen. You take him at his word, you believe it, you declare it, and it is so. Amen?
Amen?
This is a great house. Filled with a great God.
Yes.
Who does great things.
Yes.
And I believe that his goal is to make each one of us great people.
Amen.
For his glory.
Yes. Thank you.
So that when others look at our life, their only explanation is, that had to be God. Y'all have any of those friends that knew you B.C., like before Christ? You know, and they look at your life now and they're like, wow. There's only one explanation. You came to a place where his presence was. And everything changed. This is that place every time you gather. Final thought. The word church in the New Testament is the Greek word ekklesia. And it literally means a public gathering. Which means, ladies and gentlemen, you can't be the church by yourself. You can be the body of Christ, you can be born again, but you cannot be the church by yourself. You and the trees and the lake and the fish ain't the church. It's beautiful and it's peaceful, it ain't the church. I hear people say that, well, when I'm just out with nature, that's my church. No, it's not. No, you're just on a walk with nobody. You can only be the church when you gather with other believers. That's when we are what Jesus is building. Amen? Amen. Would you bow your heads for a moment? Father, I pray for this church, Victory Church. Lord, we're grateful. Today we celebrate 21 years.
Thank you, Lord.
We celebrate clearly clearly, you have been up to something for 21 years for this to still be here. You have been doing great things. So, Lord, we thank you for the lives that have been transformed in this place. We thank you, Lord, that you've reached people from the top of the mountain to the very lowest valley. You've reached people in this place. And lives were made better in this place. And so, Lord, in the name of Jesus, I declare to the north, the south, the east, and the west, we say, as your word says, the Spirit and the bride say, come. So we call people into this house. Lord, I believe there's probably people that were here and aren't here that are still supposed to be here. And I ask you, Lord, that you would renew that and repair that and restore that in the name of Jesus. Lord, we thank you that you've called us to such a beautiful construction site to help you build your church. Lord, I pray for your people. Lord, if there are some here today that have been involved, I pray that today they would shift and be committed. And be committed to this place and what you're building. I declare peace and prosperity over this place. I declare in Jesus' name that this church will continue to have the testimony of Jesus Christ that says that the blind see, the deaf hear, the lame walk, the lepers are cleansed, and the dead live. Yes. This is the place where the light of Jesus Christ shines bright. And so, Lord, we thank you in advance for all the lives that are going to be transformed. There are single people that are going to walk into this church, and they're going to find each other. They're going to get married, and they're going to build families, and their children are going to be raised in this house. In the name of Jesus. And that will set in motion generation to generation. And we thank you, Lord. We thank you. We thank you that this is the place. That this is the place where people know that they can come to and find hope and forgiveness and restoration and peace and friendship. But I pray that there'd be a spirit of unity that would increase in this place. That the hearts of the people would continue to be knit together as we grow together into the grand calling that you have upon this house. And I declare in faith that the greatest days are still ahead. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. I'm done. I'm done. I love you.
Thank you. That's good. Praise the Lord. Did you like that? That's just the perfect word for us, right? Are you blessed? Time to be a blessing. Praise the Lord. We're going to receive an offering for Pastor Brandon. You can give however you would like to give. Check, cash, goats, chickens. He particularly liked the pigs, so we can load them up in the truck. No, I'm kidding. Click the screen and I'll get past all this. You can give via text message to VCHL and the amount you want to give, 73256. Click the link and complete your gift. You can give that way. Any way you choose. We just want to bless Pastor today and show him our appreciation. You can, as I say, you can give by Pony Express. We'll water your horse and send him back. Praise the Lord. Thank you, guys. Linda, Mary, thank you for coming. Miss Ann, so blessed that you came this morning. You've been to several of our anniversaries, and we're here in the early days, so we're so grateful for that. And we're so grateful for Pastor John. He's in heaven, but he's certainly a part of this and always will be. We're grateful for him. We're grateful for Brother Copeland, who's led us into many things, for Kelly, who helps look after us. We're blessed. Amen. We're just blessed to know Jesus. And I tell you, I'm really blessed to have this family. You guys are awesome. You show up. You do what needs to be done. You're givers. You're thoughtful. Praise the Lord. Father, we thank you for every person that's giving into this offering today. We thank you for Pastor Brandon. You said in the word that we should communicate with those who teach us, that they're worthy of double honor. So, Father, we call on the double today for Pastor Brandon. And we declare that he'll be blessed beyond what he's ever been blessed with. We thank you, Lord, for what you're about to do. And, Father, we thank you for the harvest that will be returned to the givers in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Praise the Lord. If you guys would pick that up. Thank you, Jesus. Oh, I could just, everything you said, I'm ready to go listen to it over again. So good. Praise God. Just the church. What a great word. And I just love that. I just pray that many people will see this and they'll get the message. You're not in church when you're out walking in the woods. That's so good. So good. Just so many thoughts. Amen. Things to think about. Praise God. Well, are you blessed? Picking up just the rest of it right now, all the millions that are coming in. Glory to God. You guys can see we have a full schedule starting. So yeah. Women's meeting, Spanish-speaking ladies meeting, men's meeting. The men do fun things. They never invite me. They go skeet shooting or what do they call that nowadays? Clay shooting. They go, they don't invite the women. You know why. They go hatchet throwing? Do y'all do that? No, they don't do that. That's what Danny and Jordan do that. Danny, do we have anything else? All good? Okay, let's stand up. All the events good. How many of you got a surprise this summer? Praise God. Look at that. Well, I told the early prayer meeting this morning that I believe that we're at the end of a cycle and starting a new one. I really do. I believe we're going to see things change in the earth, in this world. I really do. I think that, you know, as Brandon said, we've just marched right on because we're victors. But I believe there's a lot of people going to have a lot of change. And I agree with many of them coming into this house. Amen. Now, just before we go, I want to say something really important to you. And I know you'll take this to heart, every one of you. Pastor Brandon said that we should love what Jesus loves. And I want you to know that I love what Jesus loves. And I love what you love. And I can go all the way with that, except for cats. Father, we thank you that we're the head and not the tail, above only and not beneath. Blessing is overtaking us today. We're blessed in the city. We're blessed in the field. Everything we put our hands to do prospers. And Father dear, as we go out of here, we thank you that we are no longer victims, but victors. In Jesus' name, amen. I love you guys, and I really like your cats.